Hello and welcome to Reality TV. As always, I'm your host, Jody, and I survived Halloween. Yes, it is over, thank God. We are into November, and that means it's Thanksgiving month. I love November because I host Thanksgiving, and although I'll probably be stressing about it a couple days before, I love it. It's cozy. I require everyone that attends Thanksgiving at my house to wear cozy pajamas, so we have just the freedom to expand, and it's wonderful. Now, Halloween this year was really cold and snowy. My kids did not want to trick-or-treat, and I fucking loved it. So they stayed home. We handed out candy. I have eaten probably half of all the candy that's been left over, but I'm just calling it self-care. And since Almond Joys are my favorite this year, kind of changes year to year, I think it's basically a health food treat. I mean, it's got coconut, that's fruit. We have an almond, that's good protein. Even Oprah says, 8 almonds for a snack. Make it 8 Almond Joys because you're getting your fruit in there. Boom, I have my protein and my fruits and vegetables carved out for the day. Done. Now, I also have recently started to enjoy Sour Patch Kids. They are my son's favorite, so I have to kind of sneak them while he's gone during the day. And so far, just before recording, I polished off 3 little mini packs. Don't hate me, I'm looking right here. Serving size, 2 bags. So, I mean, basically, that's like nothing, right? So I really only had 1.5 servings, and each bag has like 4 Sour Patch Kids. So 12 Sour Patch Kids, that counts as, I don't know, the bread food group because it's carbs, sugar is carbs, something like that. Anyway, it's over. We're into November and holy shit, this past week has been filled with so much gossip and events going on in the shallow end of the news. So we're going to jump right into it. First, we got to talk about this college admission scandal. Felicity Huffman was released from her prison early. What the fuck? Now, initially, it said that she was released early because of good behavior, which is pretty weird considering good behavior over the course of 10 days is pretty easy to do. I mean, she was probably cowering in her bunk bed or whatever. How about released on good behavior all those people who are in prison for drug-related crimes or, I don't know, being beaten by their husbands or something? Okay, I don't want to get too dark into it, but you get the gist. Now, then I pulled up UK Daily Mail this morning, and I see this headline. Felicity Huffman starts community service, appears to be in good spirits after prison release. You think? Of course she's in fucking good spirits because she got out early. So her minimum sentence was 14 days. She was released after only 10, but the Bureau of Prisons said it's not because of good behavior. It's because there's a standard policy for inmates who are set to be freed on weekends. So they just bump it up early. Well, wouldn't that be nice to pick and choose when you're going to report to prison? And if you just happen to schedule it that you knew you were going to get out 4 days early? Fuck off. This is so unfair, and this is not a political statement. I think we can all agree, we can come together and say this is bullshit. Now, Lori Loughlin and her husband are doubling down on their innocence, which is the stupidest fucking thing they can do. Just admit you are wrong at this point because they will never rebound, and maybe they're just banking on some multi-million-dollar book deal afterwards or a sit down with probably Oprah or some big name like that. Julie Chen. Just kidding. She's fucking annoying too. We should have a whole bonus episode on Julie Chen and her husband because the two of them, the combined forces of insufferableness are right up there with Jaron Auge, who ironically are also in the news this weekend. But first, we got to talk about Real Housewives of Orange County, Vicky suing Kelly Dodd. Oh my word, I need to know who found this lawsuit that was filed because it was not filed by Vicky Gunvalson. It was filed by someone named Jane Roe. And according to Radar Online, Vicky tried to hide her identity, but in this lawsuit, it was worded like this. Here's an actual quote, which, I mean, it doesn't take a Vicky Gunvalson to connect the dots here. TV personality and appears in the series Real Housewives of Orange County, which airs on the network Bravo. Plaintiff is also a retirement planning specialist and the president of an insurance and financial company. The lawsuit requested that three things that Dodd said while they were filming in Key West must be edited out of the show. Kelly allegedly said, "You prey on older people, you are a con woman," and that Vicky engaged in fraud. Now, I do believe that those are pretty heavy things to sling at someone in public, and it could affect their business, but I'm going to keep going with what the lawsuit says here. In an email dated October 7th, 2019, plaintiff informed the same executives of defendants that airing the falsehood uttered by Ms. Dodd would be damaging to her livelihood. I actually agree. She informed them that airing the aforementioned false and defamatory comments will damage her reputation and livelihood, and asked that they remove any reference to the lawsuit and anything referencing plaintiff as a con woman or any other defamatory statements. Gumbelson continues to argue, or I should say Roe, continues to argue that what airs on the show would be taken as a fact by viewers. I mean, even if you do not like Vicky, which I don't think any of us really love Vicky. We may like love to hate her, but I don't think any of us are aspiring to be a part of Kodo Insurance, or maybe you are, but maybe not after this lawsuit, because they may very well suffer greatly from this, because that is attacking someone's business. I understand that Vicky called Kelly Dodd a cokehead and that she does cocaine and this whole train thing, but based on my 0 years of legal expertise and training and practice, I would think that Vicky would have a very good case in saying, if she makes these comments, my business will suffer, especially if Kelly doesn't have actual proof that she is a con woman and preys on old people. And let's be real here. Isn't that what life insurance is all about? You are literally banking on the fact that people are going to die and get sick. It's a morbid thought, but that's what it is, right? All right, moving on to the House of Affleck hyphen Garner or vice versa. Ben Affleck had a relapse this past weekend. I didn't look at the video because I feel like it's just, I don't know, maybe there's a soul deep down in my chest somewhere, but I just feel like watching someone relapse when they seriously have a problem is pretty creepy. But he did relapse, and guess where he went? To good old Jen's house. And there are photos of them on Halloween morning, or maybe it was Monday or something, doesn't matter. There is Jen, Ben, their son, I think his name is Sam, right? And the middle daughter, I'm forgetting her name. It's not Violet, Serafina, right? Sarah, God, this is so creepy that I actually remember this. But the four of them are out there, they're decorating for Halloween. I thought it was really sweet. I mean, if that is what a family looks like after the father relapses and they're a divorced family coming together, sign me up for a relapse and a divorce, because I would love to look that good. The four of them look better on that day than the four of us in my immediate household on even our best of days. The only thing that really bothered me, if you're going to be reporting on this family get together and you're giving all these details, all four of them are wearing gray shirts, again, coordinating without any effort. So yeah, they're wearing gray, but what does Radar report? Ben was seen wearing denim blue jeans and a beige sweater. No, get your facts fucking straight. I mean, do you need me to come and work for Radar and pay me the paycheck to just state the obvious? Please do. I mean, this is very important information. This is just as vital to our day-to-day well-being as the Mueller report. All right, we take our celebrity gossip seriously, fucking Radar. Now, moving along to some real sad news, get your tissues ready. Go follow Audrey Roloff and Jeremy Roloff, the son and daughter-in-law of the Little People, Big World people. Well, Jer had an inguinal hernia, and he had to go have surgery for it and got it repaired, and he's resting at home. Yeah, I know, world-shattering, right? Did you feel the earth move under your feet? These two are the fucking worst. Now, first of all, I know about inguinal hernias because I had one. Just kidding. My son had one when he was, I don't know, like five. And it is where part of your intestines goes through. Like, it can go down into your little ball sack or something. I don't know. You all know what a regular hernia is. But inguinal, I'm pretty sure, correct me if I'm wrong, doctors, nurses, it is in the scrotal ball area. And he said that he had it for some time, but he just kept ignoring it. And then he cut down on his exercise. And then one day he sneezed and threw out his back, and that affected his inguinal hernia. I don't know, some bullshit. Of course, it's a 5-paragraph long Instagram thing, and there's a write-up in people.com. You know, he's making it out as if the Lord himself chose Jeremy to be an instrument of inguinal hernia awareness. And it doesn't end there because, you know, Audge, she's pregnant with the first boy that has ever been born to any woman on the face of this earth. And she is 30 weeks pregnant, and Jer credits her with being the strongest woman, and even stronger than he could ever be, because she's 30 weeks pregnant and she's helping to take care of him while he's laying on the couch. I mean, if my 5-year-old can walk out of surgery in and out on the same day, I'm pretty sure a 30-year-old man can get it together, reel in your ego, and get up on 2 feet and go pick a fucking flower, take a picture of a dandelion, whatever it is that they do for a living. But you know, maybe what they should be doing is sending some advice, a Navigator's Council journal, to a certain couple with the last name Eason. Oh yes, chills up all of your spines. Janelle from Teen Mom filed for divorce from her husband, David. Now, someone wrote whatever her statement was that she put it out on Twitter and Instagram, because it actually had punctuation. It appeared to be fully thought out sentences, and we all know that Janelle's not capable of that. She is leaving him, and she says that it's for the best for her children and for herself, and they're safe and they're doing well. Clearly, it's because she needs a paycheck. She's never had a real job. Maybe she pretended to one season, a tanning salon, or that's pretty much all of them. Anyhow, she needs a paycheck, and I personally am scared if she is the only one that is caring for those kids, because we have all seen how she cares for her kids on camera, which is basically, here's a hot dog that is far too large for you to eat when you are an infant, and go entertain yourself with a video game. I am more scared about what David is going to do. They have children, or a child together, right? Just one. But he is not going to have an income. He is going to be doing some crazy shit. I don't think he's going to get better. I don't think anyone thinks that he's going to get better, become this good or even halfway decent person. He's going to double down on the extreme. He's going to double down on being an asshole. That's going to be his influencer brand. Ugh. But it's true. He's going to be the one that's doing all of these boxing matches, or he's going to be sleeping with the porn stars. He'll make some sex tape. It's going to get really dark and really scary. And speaking of scary teen moms, Amber Portwood got probation. What is going on? The discrepancy between people who are on TV, Felicity Huffman, Amber, Janelle, how did they get away with this shit? She used a fucking machete to hack through a door where her husband or boyfriend, whatever, same thing, and infant child were. And she gets to walk home and have unsupervised visits with her kid 3 times a week? What the hell is going on? And in the photos that I saw, and I don't know exactly what date these were taken on, but recently of Amber in court, she's with Caitlin, Cheyenne and Macy are there, fucking Kirthy in her stupid oversized blousy shirts, who's reaching out to her like, I'm your personal therapist. Why is there a double standard? Just because she's a woman, she is a domestic batterer. Why are we supporting her? And why are we giving these women shows? And that actually kind of leads into 90 Day Fiancé, because there's a whole movement right now. Okay, that's probably overstating it, but people are pissed off because Angela of Angela and Michael, she is now on this new season of 90 Day Fiancé. You might have seen the little previews of her getting Botox, but it has been proven that she physically attacked Avery's mom on that tell-all, but TLC didn't show it because TLC wants us to keep watching the show because Angela had already signed a contract. Now, I don't know what I'm going to do because I have to watch my 90 Day Fiancé. We need to talk about the horrible things that are happening and the wonderful, terrible things that are happening. But I don't think I'm going to be recapping Angela's segments because I think it's bullshit. I mean, I love reality TV like all of us, but there has to be a point where in some small way, and I feel like an asshole because I'm going to be watching the show and they're going to be getting ratings and whatever, but we should not be supporting people who are beating their boyfriends or fiance. She's hit Michael. She has hit basically a stranger, Avery's mom, and she acts like a horrible human being. Hey, did you see her on Maury Povich? Do we even know what she's saying when she's not on camera? And I guess we could say that for all of the people, but I just feel like we don't need to be giving Angela attention where she doesn't deserve it. I mean, if we're going to boycott people for treating dogs, I'm talking about like Michael Vick, and well, I guess he killed him too. And so did David Eason, and people freaked out, and Janelle was fired, and David was fired. And here we are with Angela, who's getting a spotlight on a new season of a show. Aren't we better than this, America? I think so. What do you, my newest Patreon subscribers, Katie and Anfisa, think? I love you guys for signing up for Patreon. And Anfisa, I love your nickname here. According to Patreon, Anfisa is a Patreon member, Truly Brown, Cody Brown. I have had some other Real Housewives sign up. I love the nicknames. That's fucking hilarious. Genius. Anfisa and Katie, seriously, thank you for signing up for Patreon. You can too by heading over to patreon.com/realityvpod. And there is something for everyone. You can sign up at the $1 a month level and support the show. Keep getting free shows on iTunes or wherever you're listening right now. You can sign up the $5 level to get bonus episodes and stickers. $10 level, all of that plus keychains will be sent out to you. And at the very least, please head on over to iTunes, click 5 stars, and leave a 5-star review. Man, would I love you forever. Now, speaking of love, let's get into Love After Lockup. No Andrea and LaMondre, no Cheryl and Josh. So let's talk about Angela and Tony. You know, I gotta give Angela credit where credit's due because she's not taking Tony back like I think we all thought she would. She's just gonna kick back in her kitchen office in that leather office chair that sits 2 inches from her stovetop, and she's gonna live her best life while the nicotine that's surrounding her just permeates through all her pores. And don't be calling her anymore, Tony, because she is done. Except, you know what might be more effective than going into your contact settings and just changing his name to Asshole Tony, Angela? Maybe hit that block button. You're welcome. That's gonna make your life a hell of a lot easier. But I suppose that would be, you know, far too simple a solution, and then we wouldn't get to see Sister Crunchy Curls come to visit. And I hope to God this woman has a sense of humor that I fully don't understand, and she was joking because she said she wants to find Tony, hunt him down, and skin him like the dog that he is. PETA? Bueller? Anyone? Anyone? I'm very concerned. Now, later, Asshole Tony calls while Angie's working on her hog. I know, don't I sound like a real biker chick? You know, just tooling around on the hog. All right, I'm working on it. Maybe I need to take some of Amy Roloff's tips because she's a biker chick now because her fiance is into biking. I feel like you don't call it biking if you're a motorcycle person. What do you call it? Riding? I'll have to look into that. So before we can move on. Right. So Angela pretty much tells Tony she's not totally sure of his intentions just yet. But then when we see the previews, we see that they're kissing and then her special friend is in the background. He's going to really beat Tony's ass down, isn't he? Okay, let's go on to Vincent and Amber. We needed more from this story. They left us hanging so high and dry, hanging like my boobs hang low. Amber is the bitch I always knew she was. I was right all along. All of us were right all along. She is a user, and of course, she's really in love with Puppy. So let's all congratulate ourselves for knowing and stating the obvious all along. I wonder, however, if Puppy's mom knows what's going on, because Amber was talking to Puppy and she's saying, I love you, and I can't give Vincent a blowjob that grosses me out. Same girl. But Puppy's mom was on that porch, and man, if the yellow in the whites of her eyes could kill, Amber would be absolutely massacred. It would be bloodshed everywhere. I think her mom, well, if she's in on it, Now the scam is out in the open, so is she going to get in trouble because now she's taken Amber in during an active con? Okay, we needed more from that one, but that's where they left us hanging. One fucking scene. What the hell? All right, Lizzie and Daniel. Oh, man, this was so cringeworthy on a totally different level. So much to take in here. So Daniel and his mom are going to look for rings, and Mother Daniel is under the assumption that they're looking at promise rings. But Daniel, that sneaky little Daniel Tiger, he's got other plans. He needs to find the cheapest possible ring so he can propose to Lizzie. Why he went to this jewelry store, I have no idea. They must have given him some crazy discount because there's got to be cheaper places. I mean, go to a fucking kiosk in a mall. Go to a JCPenney and get the Disney Sterling Silver Collection. I don't know anything but the ugly ring he picked out. Now, I am not a heart person. I don't know whether I described a piece of heart jewelry that I've gotten in my past. Maybe that's a Patreon episode. But I am not the biggest fan. I think you know whether your partner is a heart person or not. And sure, the ring Daniel picked out isn't what she likes. Probably not up to Lizzie's standards, but it's gonna shut her yapper from complaining about babies and shit. So why not? Now, for real, as much as I do not like Lizzie, I don't care if you are head over heels in love. If you see your partner saying things like Daniel did about proposing to you and why he's doing it, anyone's going to be pissed and hurt. That's not a promise ring for Lizzie. That's not an engagement ring. It's a shut the fuck up ring. She's gonna be pissed. Now, Glorietta and Alex. Glorietta is going to try on dresses today. So Alex is going to meet up with his friend named Cato. Not Kaylin, unfortunately. This is Cato of the Tow Yard. And Alex is having a real dilemma because he's been thinking about his ex, Juliana. Juliana, what do we think she looks like? I was picturing kind of a mousy brown hair, petite, a little, well, crazy, of course, kind of Caitlin from Love After Lockup from last season. That's how I'm picturing her. Now, Cato is our unexpected vor, and he's like, why do you want to contact her? All she is trouble. You're engaged. What's the point? Just to sow your wild oats? But no. Alex reassures Cato that, you know, he just wants to chunk up the deuce. Now, I actually thought he said trick up the deuce, and this is where I did a little pause action. Went to the old Googs and typed in trick up the deuce, to which I found nothing. But it did lead me to chunk up the deuce, which Urban Dictionary tells me means to show love to your homies on the streets. Also to show respect or peace to fellow gangsters. If you with me, please do chunk up the deuce. Quote, I chunk up the deuce of the South and of the North. Little quote from Lil Kiki, Lil KK. I saw Jamal riding, so I hollered and chunked up the deuce to my main man. The more you know. That's why you come here, right? Look at the gift I'm giving you. So let's chunk up the deuce over to the bridal shop. And Glorietta, oh, bless her heart and overgrown gum situation. She didn't look at her paycheck too closely because TLC's say yes to the dress. This is not. The girl walks in and starts telling the guy at reception the type of dress she wants. All he said was, hello, welcome, and Glorietta goes into her wish list. I mean, this guy is not Randy. He doesn't give a shit. He's maybe making minimum wage. It's not even close enough to have to deal with Glorietta's crazy ass.
I am looking for a mermaid type of gown and sparkles and accessories. Such as a veil.
Is Glorietta related to the former or runner-up Miss Teen South Carolina? Remember her speech? The Iraq everywhere, like such as? The mastery or lack thereof of the English language is quite striking. Meanwhile, we see Alex meeting up with his ex, Juliana, and wow, Alex does not have a type. This chick is the breath of fresh we need on the show, and she certainly does not belong on the show because she's smart. She's got self-esteem. She does not want to be really involved in any of this kind of bullshit drama. She doesn't want to be anyone's mistress, and I love her for that. I don't know if it's too early to say that, but I'm going to take a chance, much like all of these people take a chance in love, and I'm going to say I love and at least respect Juliana for now. Now, Lacey, Shane, and John, wow, WeTV, you really have outdone yourself. This is a real Rose and Jack from Titanic situation. I mean, minus the wealth, clearly, minus the iceberg, but the same selfishness and 90s sex appeal. Shane's working that fucking puka shell necklace like he never has before. And Lacey now is on her way to pick up her older, more experienced felon John from prison. But Shane, you know, the Jack Leo in the situation, he's not going to let his rose go alone. No, no, his delicate flower that is Lacey. He wants to go and he doesn't want to leave Lacey's house where it appears he's either living or planning on living there long term. Lacey, a quote, woman of her word, is going to pick up John because he's her fiance, or at least one of her fiancés at this point, and he could be the father of her son. So she leaves Shane at her house and drives herself and her lips to the jail and waits for John to come out. And every chance they can, WeTV's cameras are shooting her lips at all the angles to try to give us an idea what's going on. I think I've said this before, you can't even tell where her lips begin and end at this point. They are so large. I do enjoy a nude lip. I'm not going to diss her for the nude lip because I think on certain people, it can play up your eyes. But the extent of the fillers, it's got to stop. She'd be very pretty. Just simplify it. Anyhow, she's waiting at the jail, but little does she know, Shane has asked for a ride to meet Lacey and John at the jail, but she doesn't know it yet. So she's waiting outside for John. And then he comes out and all she says is, "Heh, good to see ya, Sean." And I kept wondering why I was writing down Sean in my notes for the past 5-6 weeks. And it's because she doesn't even pronounce John right. She's got that messy little Kardashian thing. And she doesn't say John. She goes, "Sean, Sean." Fucking drives me nuts. But I finally figured out why I'm not the asshole. It's really her. So she starts saying to us in her little video confessionals that she's having all these feelings she didn't expect to have when she was seeing John. So I started getting confused, like, ooh, is this good feelings? Is this bad feelings? And maybe I was kind of swayed because of my hatred for Lacey. I think she is such an inherently bad person. But I kind of liked John. I thought he seemed like a nice guy, and I know he isn't. He's in prison for like beating someone to death. But in comparison to Lacey, I felt for the guy in that situation because Lacey says right off the bat, "I love Shane." She's going to break up with him right there. And she could have done it before, but either it was for the sake of the show or for her own selfishness or both. She breaks the engagement and his heart within like 3 minutes of his release. But wait, Lacey is the victim, you guys, because John is pissing her off. Lacey is the worst person on this show. Hands down, let's have a talk about it if you think it's someone else, because absolutely, Lacey is just rotten to the core. Now, next week looks pretty damn good because you hear Lacey screaming, "No, no, no." They're wanting us to think that the guys are fighting. I really hope that's not the case. I'm really hoping it's just one of Lacey's chicken cutlet butt implant things falls out. And she's like, "No, it's not supposed to happen this way." But I would just love more than anything if John went to go swing for Shane, hit his puka shell necklace. It gets tangled into his wrist. He pops it off. The shells go everywhere. And then he just flips the bird to Lacey. Oh, yeah, I went there. God, that was really lame, but I'm telling you, I think I hate that puka shell necklace that he has more than I hate Lacey. And whew, that is certainly telling. Now, let's get into some 90 Day Fiancé. I'm holding off on Unexpected for the last segment of the show this week because it's a two-parter, two-night episode. So let's just dive right in. I'm going to start with the Beekeepers. Anna, who is 38, from Bellevue, Nebraska, and Marcel from Turkey. these two are going to bring more drama than I think we're expecting them to. So like I said, they're both beekeepers. Anna is a single mom. She's got three sons. The youngest one, I want to just hang onto his cheeks and squeeze him so hard. He's so fucking cute. Now, she had her fair share of American guys sending her dick pics. Damn drones, I tell ya. Those guys. Oh, Jody, behave. Little hive humor there. Aren't you loving it? So Anna finds Marcel in this beekeeping group on Facebook, and they're very cute together, except for the fact, like our Pole and Carini, neither of them speak the same language. They're different religions, and honestly, I don't even think Marcel knows that they're engaged. He kind of reminds me of Mr. Noodle, like he doesn't know what's going on. Either that or he's been taken captive, because it looks like he's making a proof of life video every time he's talking to Anna. I want to, oh God, kiss you, Anna. And I like Anna. I really do like her so far, because to be honest, she seems pretty boring, pretty normal. And Marcel, although we don't hear much from him, seems basically pleasant. They're a boring couple. But like Anna said, it may get a little tricky because Marcel is not into drinking. He's not into smoking. He's into taking care of his body. And much like myself, Anna's from the Midwest. She likes a drink or two or three. So sue us. Now, I'm going to jump forward. I'm not going to talk about the stupid wine event with her friend because it was boring. I'm going to go to the one, the only O'Hare International Airport. Yeah, I know that depressing international terminal. Like, I know my trusty old fat jeans, okay? There's a certain dreaded familiarity. You know, you don't like to go there, but once you're there and you're in it, you don't know any different. And all you want to do is just get home and pour yourself a drink because you got the fuck out of there. But Anna, she doesn't know any of this because she is the only person, swear to God, in my life that I've seen not only smiling in this terminal, but wearing a bold and very cheerful floral. Anyone who has been in that terminal will tell you the same. It is dark. It stinks like fucking hell. And it is probably where all the most rude, bold, harsh airline employees work, is in that terminal. Guarantee fucking it. Let's go have an outing in our fat jeans. All of us who are in the area, go to that terminal. The people watching is incredible. But out comes Marcel, like he's just been released from either the SHU, where he just did his proof of life video, or his pack and play. He runs to Anna like he just took a dump in his diaper and he needs a diapy change. You guys, what do we do about Marcel? The guy is like a real-life Balky Bartokomous from the Island of Meepos, but he doesn't have the wit. And even Balky's mental processing speed is like light years faster than Marcel's. The guy runs back into the gate to get his bag. Like I said, I mean, you breathe in the wrong direction in that terminal, and those airport employees will rip your asshole in every which direction. One time, as a matter of fact, this is just like the PTSD memory coming back to me. I was picking up my mom for one of her seniors trips, standing there totally on the side because I am terrified of offending people at all times. So I just want to disappear in that sort of environment. I'm standing to the side near a wall and one of those golf cart things came and backed up into me. I didn't walk into it. I wasn't moving. Backed up into me. And they yelled at me for standing there. And what did I do? I apologized because I thought I was going to get kicked out of the airport and or end up in jail. All right? That's the kind of place that we're at. But Marcel runs back into the gate, gets his bag, runs back out. He picks up strangers along the way. And let's talk about this guy, Omar. Dear God. That is the kind of everyday humor that kills me. I mean, that just slays me to my core. Those are the moments I live for in my life. I sincerely was scared that Marcel actually invited someone with him. Like, it was his cousin from some remote island he picked up along the way, and he told, what's her name, Anna about, but she forgot, or, you know, since they don't speak the same language, she didn't understand. I was already planning out, like, oh God, the little one, the little son, he's going to be kicked out of his room. He's sleeping on the couch. Where is Omar going to be sleeping? But no, Marcel just happened to find the one other awkward Turkish man on the face of this earth, and they just twitch out on camera together. And then they hug a couple different times. I'm assuming that's just like a cultural thing. It was amazing. It was just all the awkward level of like middle schoolers going to the Scripps National Spelling Bee. Yep, Mo, if you're listening, that one's for you, because honest to God, that is the only way to describe that situation. Middle schoolers who made it to the National Spelling Bee, they're on camera, they're excited, they don't know what to do with themselves. Like, what do I do with my hands? All right, so they go back to the hotel, and Anna, I liked her until this point because she showed what a monster human she is. She's got bare feet in the hotel room. Floor is fucking lava. Let's make some merch, spread it, maybe put some bumper stickers all around the world. Let people know floor is lava. Moving along to our next couple, let's meet Michael. He is 42, question mark, self-employed from Greenwich, Connecticut, and he's really just like George Costanza. He is an importer-exporter, not at Vandalay Industries, but in wine, in the wine biz. Now, I ask of you, nay, I beg of you, please tell me where we have seen Michael before. He looks so familiar. And I need to go back on Netflix and watch Somm, S-O-M-M. Please tell me you've seen it. There's Somm and then Somm 2 Into the Bottle or Barrel and Somm 3. I'm wondering if he was in one of those, or there was a documentary, and I cannot remember the name of it for the life of me. Tell me if you know it. It's about this guy who was taking all these different wines and mixing them all together in his house, really janky, and then he was selling them and auctioning them off for crazy amounts of money. I'm wondering if this guy was in it because he did the same thing. I went into Google. His last name is like Jessen, I think, J-E-S-S-E-N, Michael Jessen, and he is an auctioneer of wine. He donates it, so it would make so much sense if he was in those documentaries. Someone help me out with this, please. Now, it goes without saying that Michael's a total douche, and he's got the sports cars and the expensive watches and the selfies on a yacht to prove it. Michael met his fiance Juliana on a yacht in Croatia. There was lots of celebrities there. So, Juliana's a yacht girl, right? I mean, that's just a given at this point. You know, like Lindsay, the Hadid girls, allegedly. I think we just need to call it like it is. I don't think the organizers of these fancy yacht parties with celebrities are asking girls like Juliana to come because of their brilliant TED Talks. I think she is gorgeous. Like, truly, she was stunning. Some of her pictures were breathtaking. And she should be modeling. That's clearly what she needs to be doing because she's gorgeous. But it grosses me out. How did it get to be that she's on a yacht mingling with older men? I don't think there was a modeling shoot going on during the evening when they were having this party with these ugly, disgusting old men. Now, Juliana has not been to the U.S. before because her visitor visa was denied, which I think, in my zero immigration expertise, is very strange, right? Maybe we'll find out more, but the whole reason that they're doing this 90-day fiancé visa is because of that. And plot twist, Michael has two children. Now, I actually thought they seemed like very nice, normal kids. And that American Girl doll comment, someone get this girl into comedy immediately. It was amazing. And the son seemed pretty funny too. Like, I would love to get some ice cream with those kids, watch The Office together, maybe a throwback Uncle Buck. We would have a ball. Juliana, however, she and Michael haven't really talked about her being a stepmom or what she's going to do with the kids once she's here living in their home together. Pretty strange, right? I mean, I wonder what she and Michael have been doing all this time that hasn't given them time to talk about that. Now, luckily, we get to meet Michael's ex-wife, who I think is absolutely lovely. I want to say her name is Sarah, but I could be completely making that up. To me, she seems down to earth. She's asking basic questions like, how are things going to look day to day? She hasn't given us any reason not to like her yet. And from the way I'm looking at it from a mother's perspective, she's asking all the right questions, and she does seem sincere that she's asking the questions because she's concerned about her kids. She's right. When you introduce someone in a child's life that they have never met before, now they are moving into a new house with a new step-parent, it's life-changing. It can be life-altering in a bad way as well. So she's just trying to head that off. But Michael is not seeing things, I don't think, really in the same order that Sarah, if that's really her name, is seeing it. He's like, no, she just wants to be sure that she's still the mom no matter what. I don't think we're going to have any issues. Juliana isn't going to really get in there. She's not going to step on any toes. No, you fucking idiot. That is not what she is saying at all. Listen with your ears, not with your sports car and your stupid watch, douche face. All right, moving on to Tanya and Sinjin. Oh, wait, hold on a second. I forgot to mention that Michael's kid was picking his nose in the car, and then he ate it, and I freaking gagged on a Sour Patch Kid. That is disgusting. Nose picker! Nose picker! All right, now, Tanya and Sinjin. Tanya is from Colchester, Connecticut, but I have a feeling I'm not saying that correctly. I feel like there needs to be like some sort of waspy take on it. And Sinjin is from South Africa. Tanya comes in, vibrators blazing, and makes it known that she likes sex, she likes to get freaky, and she must have the most powerful tool there is. Now, more power to her for being honest and unashamed in her womanhood, but goddammit, I have to wonder if TLC did her wrong, and if Tanya knew that this would be her introduction to the world. Like, oh yeah, she's a kinky lady. And she also fights for voting rights and democracy. But what about that pocket rocket, ladies? Ew. Now let's meet Sinjin, spelled S-Y-N-G-I-N. More on that in a moment. Tanya met him at a bar after she left the guy that she originally flew to South Africa for. They hit it off and hot South African accent later. She's living my dream. 2 months in South Africa, they're engaged, and he is coming to America. Now, on a superficial level, I think Tanya is gorgeous. Sinjin, on the other hand, he's got the kind of face where I can't really tell yet. He has a unique look. I'm really worried about his teeth. They look like they are from caveman times, like too square. They've been worn down by the elements and rocks and chewing on sticks. But maybe if we get him white strips, a trip to the periodontist immediately, he could turn the corner into super South African hot. Now, fun fact, Sinjin comes from the French origin for Saint John. Another fun fact, Patti LuPone will be playing the role of Tanya's mom this season, and she is taking it to Charlize Theron as serial killer Aileen Wuornos in the blockbuster hit Monster very seriously. She needs a hot soak, and she wants it with a dry martini now. Move, bitch, get out the way, and take your lazy-ass boyfriend with you. Mother Tanya is not messing around. She is not Sinjin's biggest fan, but for now, she's going to try to stay in her lane. Tanya's sister, however, she is our salty vor, our salty voice of reason, and I cannot wait for more of her. Now, jump to the day Sinjin is arriving to New York, and Tanya is all kinds of disorganized. And for someone who claims to be so type A and driven, and she's got to have things a certain way, Tanya's a damn mess. She doesn't have the she shed ready. She doesn't know what she's going to wear that day. Her hair is wet. Now they're late to pick him up. But you know what was ready? Her sex corner in the hotel room and rose petals on the bed, carefully prepared by her friends. That's where I draw the line. I don't want my friends preparing for my sex, and I do not want to prepare for theirs. That's a line of friendship that I don't think anyone needs to cross. That goes the same for waxing certain areas on each other. And don't be like, oh, Jody, what the hell are you talking about? I can't be real specific here. Maybe I'll talk about it on Patreon, but I once knew two people that said they were friends, but they would wax each other, you know, down there. I don't want to do that. I cannot do that with a friend. That would be like me, I don't know, giving you a self, well, wouldn't it be a self-breast exam? I just don't want to cross that line, okay? I don't want to think about you having sex. I don't want you to think about me having sex. Done. Moving on to Emily, who I also don't want to picture having sex. This chick, wow, this is going to be a great storyline. So Emily is 29. She's originally from Portland, but now she's living in Volgograd, Russia. And she is teaching English, but she does not know even a lick of Russian. All right. She initially moved to Russia to teach because she had, quote, a picture in her head of Russia as a wonderland until she landed there. How is this even possible? I mean, I would bet you $1 million right now if I asked my kids, hey, what do you think Russia is like? And they're going to describe it fairly accurately. I mean, there's no Russia pavilion in Disney World that would give anyone the kind of impression that Russia is a wonderland. And needless to say, once she was there for a while, she was seeking some sort of form of life in the frozen, deteriorating, depressing tundra. So she joined a gym that's got lead paint just chipping all over the place. I mean, who doesn't want a little lead protein boost when you're on the bench press machine? Enter Sasha, 32-year-old personal trainer. And I mean, these two are just very photogenic. I don't know if it's just me, but these two look completely different live on video compared with all the selfies that they were showing. Like, I would never have thought that they were the same couple, but that is not the most shocking thing. Emily is pregnant and she's choosing to give birth in Russia because Sasha's visa isn't approved. Now, we are going to be able to knock off a little bingo square on our 90-day fiancé bingo if she gives birth in the same place as Olga. Just throwing that out there. But there's more. This might be Emily's first child, but it's Sasha's third baby, and she will be his third wife. What say you, Emily? But we're different. Our relationship is perfect, and we're going to last. Iceberg right ahead! You fucking idiot. Now, at this point, I really was wondering, where did Emily come from? Like, is she from a super conservative sect of Amish? Was she homeschooled where her mom made up textbooks of this wonderland? Maybe she was adopted out after her mother sprang free from the Amish during a Rumspringa. Like, she is second generation Amish. And okay, I had like a whole story going in my head that would make Emily's just dumb shitness makes sense because maybe she didn't have the best background knowledge of how life works. But anyway, that whole theory was blown out of the water when we got to meet her sister on FaceTime. So they are sitting talking about, oh wait, hold on a second, shit. Okay, let's go back a little bit because there's a really important scene that happened here. Emily and Sasha brought one of Sasha's kids to this toy store. And Emily's main goal here was just to talk about herself and this baby that's coming. Yeah, good job, stepmom. Why don't you just shut your mouth and smile and buy the fucking Nerf blaster? Don't go talking about how daddy is with a new person. There's going to be a new baby. Don't do that. Now, according to Emily, via Sasha, Sasha's ex-wife is just like a total bitch and she only lets Sasha see his son on holidays. But something's up there. We're going to have to find out some more information from these ex-wives to see, is it crazy ex-wife plus Sasha is a dick, or is it all the ex-wife or all Sasha? We'll have to see. All right, but back to sister Emily. She is going to be our Vore this season, and she does not seem to buy into Emily's fairy tale. As soon as she starts asking Emily, como se dice episiotomy in Russian, Emily suddenly feels dizzy and she has to hang up. Then she stands up, walks around a bar with lots of concrete and ceramic tile. No, 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 honey. Sit down. If you're dizzy, you sit. All right? You don't stand up and walk around where you could just collapse at any time. Now then, of course, Sasha shows up and suddenly the dizziness disappears. Weird. But tears and some "hold me" starts to appear in the language. Emily's sister didn't buy it, and I don't either. I think Emily is a stage 10 clinger, and I think Sasha's starting to see it too. Now, Robert from Winter Park, Florida, and Annie from Santiago, Dominican Republic. He is either a Lyft or an Uber driver, and he's got a little son, Bryson, who is very cute and also very precocious. His fiance is Annie, and Shorty is popping and lit, and she is moving to Florida so she can be Robert's queen. Really cute story here. Annie and Robert have only spent 8 hours together, but Robert is 100% sure she is the one. Annie is just going to slide right in. She's going to be the mother to his son that his son has always needed and wanted. And she's going to be a frugal, hardworking partner in the household. Now, like Michael and Juliana, I bet Annie and Robert have spent a lot of time talking before they made plans to marry and raise pre-existing children. Now, the whole lingerie store scene was so cooked up that honestly, I don't even think it's worth talking about because that is the last type of store Robert would ever be going into. We barely know him, and we know that to be true. He'd be at the same place that Tanya was at, if we're going to be honest here. Now, if there were any doubt or red flags, as Robert calls them, about Annie's intention, don't you think the 42 angry emojis about getting her money would be as red and flaggy as they could get? Come on, Robert. You have a son. You got to refine that picker for his sake. Or go call up Michael's son, because he certainly knows how to pick them. All right, stick around, and after a very quick break, I'll be back with Unexpected Tell-All Part 1. Hey, funny story. I was absolutely convinced that there was going to be a Tell-All Part 2 on Monday night. Stayed up to watch it, getting all ready for it, and it was a rerun of Part 1. Jesus Christ, I just feel like I can't do anything right anymore, you guys. But you know who is doing everything right, including her skincare regimen? Ananda. Where the fuck has she been? Or where have I been? Maybe I've just been a time warp because I feel like the last time I saw her was on TRL with Carson Daly or some shit. Maybe she wasn't even on MTV. Maybe it's like a butterfly effect thing. But I swear she was on something MTV related and I didn't realize I missed her. She looks amazing, and I need to find out what she's using on her skin, what she's using on her hair, and who's dressing her, because she was ravishing. I am a huge Ananda fan. There it is. I need to start following her on Twitter. Okay, let's get to the tell-all. Here on the stage, we have Jessica and Chloe, Haley and her mom Tanya, Ryla, her mom Rosa, and Tyra and her mom Alyssa, who looks like she's about to fall asleep any second, right into those crunchy curls that she's sporting. And then we have, of course, Michaela DeBella DeBall, who thinks she's on a freaking Real Housewives reunion, and Cindy, who looks like Michaela probably threw a tantrum and gave her grandma a swirly. She's looking rough. Now, the dads are backstage listening, and stupid Matthew thinks he's on like fucking Cash Cab or something. Like the girls are really watching him and the boys think they're watching the girls. Fucking dumbass. This is not fucking Maury Povich. Now we find out that the moms have this group text going and we're supposed to be all impressed by this, that they're communicating. And then we get to Michaela. There's a lot of shots of Michaela in this first segment. Something about her aura gives off that she thinks she's Queen Bee, like she's the OG of Unexpected. She's giving these little quips like, tell me about it, girls. Been there. Try having two kids. These boys need to own up to their mistakes. Am I right? Admit when they're wrong. Have some respect for women, why don't you? Oh, right, Michaela, because your life is something that these other girls are supposed to aspire to. No, you lazy, selfish brat. Now, I loved when Rosa looked straight at Michaela and Cindy when she was saying for her, her goal is not to keep Ryla at home because remember, Michaela thought it was so cute and charming that Grandma Cindy wants to keep her home all through her adulthood. Well, Rosa was having none of that. And she was like, really? Because I want Ryla to be independent. My doors are not always open. The goal of raising a child is to push them out on their own so that they can thrive and, you know, provide for themselves, take care of their own freaking children. But stupid Cindy is sitting there with a little dumb smile on her face. She wants a Shannon 2.0, and she's going to get exactly that, if not worse, with Michaela. Now, I want to point out something that I thought was very, oh boy, I don't know if this is the right word, poignant, I guess. They had the girls and their moms. They're talking about how they became closer and they bonded through having babies and being pregnant. And I really hope teenagers who are watching this show are not taking from this like, oh, if I get pregnant, I'll be closer with my mom. I think for the women or the girls and their moms, however you want to call them, moms, grandmas, girls, moms, whatever. I think the reason they're bonded together more so now is because to a certain extent, and I hope you understand what I'm trying to say here, the pregnancy and birth and the trials and tribulations with their boyfriends are kind of a traumatic event. Like they went through this trauma together. I'm not saying that the babies are trauma. Hopefully you understand what I'm saying. They went through this life-altering, momentous time together and they're bonded. Now, juxtaposed to that, we have the boys in the back just looking for things to bash the girlfriend's moms about, the grandmas about. Oh, what, is she a feminist now? That's stupid, Anthony. Don't you even worry about feminism for a second, Anthony, because I don't think you're going to have to deal with any women in the near future because wasn't he just like arrested and thrown in the clink? He's not going to be dating anytime soon, so I don't think you need to worry about us feminists coming after you. And then, of course, we have Matthew. He's telling Max that Chloe sucks because Chloe never sticks up for him. Well, how can Chloe stick up for Max when he is being arrested, failing drug tests, stealing from people? I mean, what better time to throw out a Chris Rock line here? What, do you want a cookie? I mean, it blows my mind how all of these asshole dorks, minus Kaylin, how do they get any woman or girl to sleep with them? Spread this message far and wide to your daughters, your nieces, your neighbors, girls across America. Aim higher. You can do better than these pimply, skinny, unshowered dorks of human flesh. I don't even have words. Oh my God, if my daughter came home and said she had a crush, let alone dating someone, had a crush on any one of these guys, minus Kaylin, I would be just really ashamed of my parenting. Like, what have I taught you? You know we go for funny, smart guys. They can be chubby, they can be skinny, they can have glasses, they can have pimples, but they need to have a brain in their head, something going for them besides, I don't know, talking while looking down at their feet and jerking off every second they can, because I'm really just talking about Max and Matthew right now. Now, next conversation turns to giving birth, and this is where Dr. Anthony, MD, tells us all about the after baby. I swear to God, I need to go back into teaching. My certificate's still active. I need to go back and primarily teach sex ed to high school students. I cannot deal with these boys who, okay, if they have not had a baby, I can see them being stupid and thinking there is something called the after baby, which I'm assuming he meant like the afterbirth, the placenta, something along those lines, but he clearly called it the after baby. They've had children. There's no excuse. They are in the delivery room. Some of them have gone to classes, right? I mean, some of them fell backwards onto a table. I really enjoyed it. But listen, they should know better. Don't go into a nationally televised show and be talking about fucking after baby. Now, then Ananda asks the moms what they're using for birth control. And all of them are yelling. They're screaming, I'm on the pill. Me too. I got the thing in my arm. I didn't leave the hospital without it. But you know who wasn't screaming? Michaela. Oh, What's that? Nothing to add here, Miss OG of Unexpected. You said you were done having kids, no more. So how's that going to work exactly? Your scrunchie that you're always wearing on your wrist? That might do the job. That would probably repel most men with a mind. But no, that's not going to cut it. Maybe Grandma Cindy's face hovering over your shoulder all the time like she does. That'll probably do the trick. No one's going to be having sex with you with her in the background anytime soon. Definitely if Shannon is sticking around. But what the fuck? Why wasn't Ananda asking her what she's doing? She's Miss Prim and Proper and Perfect, and she does parenting and relationships perfectly. So what's your plan? God, I was so fucking annoyed. Maybe part two, they go back to her and they ask her what she's using, because obviously nothing, but she's not going to speak up because she's a big fucking hypocrite. Okay, first couple, or I guess we'll call them a quadruple. We have Rosa, Ryla, her boyfriend Anthony, and his mom Rebecca. Now, I haven't really talked about Expected in a few weeks, but I'm just going to assume that all of us are not fans of Rebecca, right? I thought she came off like a complete bitch. She was just so aloof. And the fact that she can't even say thank you to Rosa for raising her kid. Yes, Anthony's 18, but that doesn't mean you can't be grateful and thankful that someone else is taking your kid in for you. Like Rosa said, even the basics, she's paying for his electricity and his deodorant, the soap that he uses on his body, the water that he drinks. You can't even muster up a thank you, Rebecca. You know, your son is able to be this great dad that you like to brag about and in your granddaughter's life because of Rosa's generosity. She does not have to let him stay there. Oh, I can't stand Rebecca. Just say thank you. You don't even have to mean it. Just say it. Thank you and be done with it. All right, let's move on to Chloe and the gang. I freaking loved this segment, of course, because I cannot stand Max. Now, for every complaint Jessica had, Max was backstage rolling his eyes and he was looking at his dad like, oh, see, Dad, isn't she a bitch? They won't let me go to their house. Isn't that a lame rule? Am I right? But to Max's surprise and to the nation's delight, his dad was agreeing with Jessica and just shut down stupid Caillou's oversized face and made him look like the little chump that he is. Now, I know Jessica gets hate from basically everyone, but I'll say it once and for all. If my daughter's boyfriend had gone to jail for stealing, doing drugs, was blowing off rehab and all that shit, fuck no, he would not be allowed in my house. If you want to have him inside a home with you, then go ahead, buy your own home, pay a mortgage, pay the bills, and you can have all the freedom you want. If they call me a bitch, I'll show you a bitch, but they are not allowed in my house. Now, Max did have a little breakthrough. I'll give him a little bit of credit. He admitted that he was immature in the past and he shed some tears. It was slightly touching, okay? But I am a hard ass and I'm stubborn with stuff like this. Only time will tell. And I do think Max was getting a little frustrated that they weren't just forgiving him for everything. I think that Jessica and her husband did a really good job of accepting his apology and for understanding where he was coming from. They gave him credit for apologizing and taking the steps that he has. But I do think Max was expecting them to just be like, oh, everything is water under the bridge. We love you. Let's be this happy family again. And really, he's going to have to prove it long term. Now, we only saw a little bit of Haley and Matthew, but it's got me salivating for next week. Just like Haley and apparently every girl in this town is salivating for Matthew. I don't fucking get it. But here we have Haley, her mom Tanya, Matthew, and Haley too backstage. And I don't know if it's just me, but it kills me that she's formally named Haley too. Just like Johnny number 5 meets R2-D2. Just Haley too. It's not even like Haley B or... I don't know. I guess they can't really give her a nickname, but it just kills me. Haley, too. It's awesome. Now, Haley, too, is sitting backstage and just looking at this girl. I love a good game of smells like. So I'm going to play it with myself here. I think Haley, too, smells like, and I really think that I got this nailed down here, CK1, Yeah, trigger some scent memory. Oh, credit to Audge there, if you listen to the Patreon episode. CK1 and a dirty bra. Did I nail it or what? Now, Matthew, his was a little tougher to nail down, but I think I got this too. Matthew smells like a Payless shoe store, dirty hair, and just a tinge of his dad's deodorant, because you know he doesn't have his own deodorant. He doesn't actually wear it every day. It's like a used dollar store hint of a manly, generic Old Spice smell. You're getting it, right? But mostly Payless shoe store and dirty hair. All right, so let's get into it. We have Tanya, Haley 1, and Matthew on stage, and they start going back and forth on when exactly Haley 2 entered the picture and started hooking up with Matthew. Now, Matthew, being the macho, mature man that he thinks he is, doesn't regret a single thing. And they even gave him an out, like, are you sure? Nothing? Even maybe just a little bit? No regrets at all? Nope. Doesn't regret cheating on Haley, denies it. Doesn't regret pissing everyone off, burning bridges? No. Even Ananda, my new queen, was like, buddy, are you sure you're not just being a little stubborn? And she's using the same technique that I think all of us use with toddlers. Like, did you eat a cookie? Are you sure? You won't be in trouble. Are you sure you didn't even sneak a bite? Maybe just on accident. Like, you're giving it to them. I'm not going to be mad if you tell the truth, but here's your chance to make yourself look better. But no, he's not biting. Now then, Haley too is backstage, and she takes a note from Angela from 90 Day Fiancé. She thinks she's on Maury Povich, and she starts getting this wild hair up her ass that smells like a dirty bra on CK1. And she starts saying she wants to get on stage like, oh, I need to get out there. I need to say something. I need to say something. You don't know me. You don't know me. I pay my bills. It's coming. Trust me. She's going to whip out some lines like that. Now, that's where they left off, where she starts walking on stage in some Ross Dress for Less fall 2014 romper. She's not doing herself any favors, and really that nasty smug smirk on her face, I just want to smack it off. Well, like I said, that's where they leave off. We'll get some more screaming and yelling next week, and it looks like a huge bombshell, which I think we're all assuming Haley too is pregnant or might be pregnant. Again, girls across the world, aim higher. You can do better. All right, well, that does it for this week's episode. Please head to iTunes, leave a 5-star review, or at least click those little 5 stars. Head over to patreon.com/realitytvpod for bonus episodes and more. This week on Total Request Podcast, Amanda and I are going to be watching Rock of Love. It's going to be a good one. That's at patreon.com/AmandaandJody. Check out Moms on the Rocks, a new episode coming out this week and next. And until next time, stay warm. It's fucking winter already. Take care of yourself and the people you love. And as always, stay salty.